Welcome to Roaming with Restless Women, real talk with wise, dynamic women leaders. I'm your host, Julie Noonan, CEO and founder of Intuitive Wisdom Coaching, and I'm living my dream life. I live and work in my RV, coaching senior women leaders as they navigate corporate politics, family drama, and personal goals to live their own dream lives. These women are restless. They are never done seeking new opportunities, learning, and creating value in the world. If you'd like to apply to be on the show, stick around to the end and I'll let you know how. Let's go.
Back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have an author with me, Isabella Young. She studied and taught physical education, outdoor education, health, and exercise physiology to undergraduates and postgraduates in Victoria, Australia. I love her accent, by the way. She was a pioneer in the establishment, development, and research of therapeutic outdoor education programs in Australia and a founder of Outdoors, Inc., a nonprofit organization that has provided outdoor adventure and recreation programs for people with poor mental health since 1987. In 1994, while completing a PhD in lecturing in outdoor education, personal tragedy struck. Widowed, pregnant, and with a three-year-old son, Isabella began her own healing journey that has spanned three decades. She has crisscrossed three continents under three different names, undertaking pilgrimages, retreats, shamanic journeys, and vision quests, living in the wilderness and in ashrams, including 8 years in a messianic cult as the wife of the guru who had her son murdered. His murder broke her free from brainwashing, and through her relentless devotion to ending her suffering, freeing her mind, and seeking the truth, Isabella is now thriving in Hawaii. Immersed in the natural beauty of Kauai, she enjoys riding, swimming, growing food, and going barefoot. I'm with you on the barefoot. I'm barefoot right now, so we're good there. She has published numerous articles on natural health, and those have appeared in numerous magazines. Her first book, Putting on the Armor of God, a Survival Handbook for the Great Awakening and New Earth, exposes the war on humanity and what we can do to protect and empower ourselves. Her second book, New Human of New Earth, offers readers hundreds of natural medicines, body technologies, and spiritual technologies to optimize physical and mental health, expansion of consciousness, multidimensionality, and sovereignty. Welcome, 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 Isabella.
Thank you, Julie. I'm very much looking forward to our conversation today, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a guest on your podcast.
Oh, I am thrilled. I am absolutely thrilled. You have a very unique journey, and I really was drawn to that because not very many of us have experienced a lot of the tragedy that you have in your life. So I wanted to start there. Tell me a little bit about your early life and then how it has impacted and informed what you're doing now.
I was born in Australia, and my family looked very normal on the outside, I suppose, but actually it was a very toxic situation. My mother was a alcoholic. She had a narcissistic personality disorder, and she took my family and two other families through absolute hell when she had an affair, and my parents got a divorce, and that really set me up for spoiler alert, getting into the cult and going down a very dark road. I met my first husband when I was finishing my outdoor education, physical education, outdoor education degree, and we started a life together. We were living my dream, I suppose, which has always been to live on land and be as self-sufficient as possible. He was working in the outdoor education field as well, teaching, bringing the outdoors to corporations for team building and personal development. So he was riding that wave, and I was working on my PhD. I was 3 months pregnant with our second child when he went off to work for his company that day, and I got a knock on the door at 10 o'clock from the local cop and a neighbor to say that he'd been found dead in his car. And I knew in that moment that my dreams were gone. My soulmate was gone. I couldn't live on the farm anymore. We were, chop wood, carry water, and there's no way I could do that on my own with two little kids. So I went on a basically went on a years long journey to try and find a place that felt like home, basically, and also to try and find a reason to stay alive. It was for my kids, but I also needed to find a little, something within myself that was going to keep me here, because I wanted to die, really. I've had that experience a lot with my death wish has been with me. So I did some trips to India and worked with a number of different healers and found a place called Healesville, just outside of Melbourne, and became part of a Waldorf community there, which is a education system that's would be ideal for every human being, really, but from works with the soul rather than just, shoving useless information into children's heads and then expecting them to regurgitate. So I got involved in that community there. I was continuing on with healing work. And I did a shamanic journey called Dying to Live, where we were blindfolded and in silence, basically going to replicate the death experience. And we prepared by writing eulogies and wills and letters of forgiveness and all that. And on the last day when we did the meditation, I had a huge out-of-body experience. And I heard a number of things, and one of them was to go and start training with this particular person who I hadn't met before. I heard he was a trans channel. So I met him in New Zealand, and he told me he was my guru, and I was looking for a spiritual teacher. I really did want a teacher. So I believed I'd met my guru, and he invited me to his ashram in California. So I took my children. He then, when I was there after there for a month, he asked me to marry him, and so I married him. We had a child, and then we lived together in the ashram for a number of years, which was absolute hell. He's the second coming. He's the Maitreya. He's the Kalki avatar. That's where, the messianic cult comes into it. He believes he's the Messiah, and we're all his disciples helping him with his mission. But he's just he's demonic. So he's speaking words, one lot of words, but doing something completely different. My son came home from school. He was really upset. I suggested that he go to bed, sleep on it, and we'll talk about it in the morning. And in the morning, he was gone. And by that afternoon, we called around and couldn't find him and reported him missing. And the next day, I'm just going to call him the cult leader. That's the kindest thing I can say at the moment. Sent his assistant to look behind the house and found him in the with the kitchen knife and a knife wound to his neck. And I was blamed for my son's death because I hadn't been a obedient disciple. I hadn't given my son the life that he wanted, and I wanted to die again. I
Oh my
really did.
goodness.
And so
Oh, how old was he
I
at that point?
15. He was 15. He was such a light. He was such a light. Didn't want to live. And I just went from breath to breath for about 6 months. But I had two other children, so I didn't want to put them through any more lot grief and loss. So I went along to see this guy who'd been the cult counselor. And I never saw him when he was working with the other disciples, we were called. I just didn't. I was disobedient. There was so much hypocrisy. I just didn't do everything I was supposed to do. Anyway, when I walked in the door, he said, "I knew you'd come to see me. You know you're in a cult, don't you?" And I said, "No, I don't know I'm in a cult. I thought I was in an ashram with my guru." And he said, "Well, go home and Google cult characteristics," which I did. And sure enough, there's the list: the charismatic leader who's the arbitrator of truth, who dictates everyone's everything, from what you eat, how you sleep, where you work, who you associate with, who you marry, who you have sex with, who you don't have sex with, all that dictated by him. Meanwhile, he's doing whatever he wants, taking people's money, stealing people's money through what he calls his tithing. Like, you have to donate 10% of your income to him to even be in his presence. So there was also the gaslighting. I understood what learned what gaslighting was and realized that's what was done on me basically since the start. You know, he would tell me that I said one thing or he said something, and it just totally mind fucked me. I really was messed up from this. And the brainwashing, we had to chant his name, and when we did the meditations in the morning and bow to him, kiss his feet, all that sort of stuff, really, you know, just cult 101. And once I realized I was in a cult, I knew that I had to get out. And I escaped to Hawaii with my children, and that's when my healing started. That's when I started to understand what was happening. And once I was in Hawaii, I was able to just well calm my nervous system, really, which I've done through not wearing shoes, like you're saying, but I've been
Being
about
grounded,
8 years now, staying grounded, staying directly connected to the earth to get that earth energy to calm my nervous system, like I said, to rebalance physiologically and electromagnetically. It's so important. And I think that's these sort of things that I've learned. They're reminders of what we need to do in order to be an optimally healthy, mentally and physically healthy human being. We can't be optimally healthy unless we are directly connected to the earth, spending time in nature, receiving sunlight on our skin and in our eyes. These are all forgotten, even by the natural medicine doctors. That they go straight to the biohacking or the, let's take methylene blue. It's like, no, just get some sunlight in your eyes, really. Or go and lie on the earth for 5 minutes a day. That's you don't need to be taking all these expensive supplements or doing expensive courses or any. It's all there. All the tools that we need, all the medicines we need are available in nature for free every day, all the time. So that basically what I've written about, this is my latest book.
Oh my
It's
goodness,
called
that's huge.
I know how ridiculous, right? At a time when people are only reading tweets, I publish an 825 page book
I
with
love it.
1800 footnotes. But that's the once I started sun gazing, so every morning receiving the sunlight directly into my eyes that stimulates parts of my brain. I don't know how it works. This is way beyond my ability to comprehend what's happening, but I know it expands my consciousness and it brings information, and it also allows me to integrate information so I can read a lot, listen to a lot of other people teaching, and then be able to pull what I distill the essence from what I've learned and then share it through the books. So that's what I've been doing since I arrived in Hawaii. So I had to learn, this is a one thing that I had to learn, and it took years. I had to learn to love myself. And once I knew that I had established self-love, once I got into a relationship with someone who didn't have a narcissistic personality disorder.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to
It
hear
is great.
that.
I know it's so freeing, really. But it took a long time. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of affirmations and just treating myself with loving kindness, like reparenting myself, basically. And it's still a work in progress. I still, I think we can be very hard on ourselves. And one of the things I've learned to do is to police my own thoughts. So particularly when I have like thoughts of loss of my husband or my son, because those thoughts can take me into very dark places, and that's not healthy. So I have to stop those thoughts, replace them with other thoughts, change the thought train. If I'm starting to be critical about myself, change that around to, "You're doing a great job. I love
And so,
myself."
how did you get helped at learning to do that?
No,
Or
I
have
actually, this was all self-learning, just watching videos, listening to other people talk, reading books, just getting the information, and then being very disciplined in applying that to myself, my own life, because I was suffering. I basically, since my first husband died, it was just constant suffering, just clawing at straws, trying to, find some way to get through the day. And now I don't suffer anymore. It's not that I don't feel pain or anger or rage or whatever it is, but I allow those, I express those emotions. It's so healthy to be doing that rather than suppressing it or
Oh,
pretending
for
or
sure.
masking or medicating, right? Just to, take a pillow and go and scream into it, and end up in a snotty mess on the floor, because it does pass.
It
It's
does.
emotion, energy, emotion. It'll pass. But if it doesn't pass, it's going to get stay. And that's one of the the big causes of illness and disease is
Huge.
our unmoved emotions.
This episode is sponsored by me. So, as a special gift to you, our listeners, I offer a free 1-on-1 15-minute breakthrough session. Bring a problem and experience how coaching works to see if it could be of value to you. Sign up for an available time on my website, intuitivewisdomcoach.com.
Well, and I know, I would imagine that throughout your life, and in particular after you lost your husband, your first husband, that it took, that you had to suppress from then until you were able to leave the cult. Because I would imagine in the cult, you're not allowed, you weren't allowed to express anything outwardly. Is that correct? Or,
So then
Wow.
what happened after I was further along my healing journey, I was able to see that the same tactics that were used on those of us in the cult, like the gaslighting and the brainwashing and the mind control and the cult programming, I could see how that was being used on humanity as a whole. I could see how, as a whole, we are being brainwashed by television, mainstream media, the news cycle, and then advertise all that. There's all these technologies that we think are just benign, like, oh, it's just a television, or it's just my cell phone. No, these are mind control devices. That's what they are specifically designed for, to control how we think, what we choose to do with our life force energy and our creative energy. And
Yeah.
basically, our divine selves. These devices hijack our divinity and our humanity, and we're being, I won't say what, we're being fucked over basically as a species.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for people to see at the start, because all these systems that we've trusted, the education system, the legal system, the financial system, even though we don't necessarily trust that, but the bank, all the money even, and then you've got
Yeah.
the legal system and the religions, how that we just see them as normal, and that they're there for us, but they're
Yeah.
not there for us. They're there to control us and limit our thinking and our understanding and our perception of reality. That's what all those systems work in coordination to keep us fearful, sick, and thinking inside a box. So that was what I was able to see once I got out. And that itself, to be able to get to the point where you go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't right. Like, who says that I have to work 9 to 5? Who says I got to get a mortgage? Like, who says? And
Yeah.
then you realize there is actually a controlling force that is keeping us in place, in order, in debt, in sickness and suffering, in order to control us and manipulate us and head us towards a technocratic future where we are controlled by AI, where we are roboticized, where we don't have free will, and where we are slaves, basically. Our energy is
Yeah.
being siphoned off, and that's what I got to see. And then the next step after that, of course, is say, okay, well, how do I get out of that? How do I get
Right.
out of that cult? How do I extract myself, my energy? And that's an ongoing process, because it's not that easy.
No,
There are
well, it there's a matter of survival there too. Because well, humans in general want to have safety, they want to have, with security. They want to feel belonging. And all of those natural inclinations are things that nefarious forces use against us. When it's
Exactly.
perfectly
And
natural to want to belong, it's perfectly natural, to want security. And It's just a matter of where do you place that security? What do you trust? And how do you live your life so that you're not adding to it and still keep yourself safe? It's everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I've written about really is how to live as a sovereign being, and that's it's an ongoing process. But so for me, the first thing is to have a rock solid connection to the higher power, to divine, to God. I'm calling it God because I was raised by an atheist who thought that word was the most vile word ever spoken, so I use that word. But you can use universe, great spirit, all that is, but there is a higher power than my consciousness. I know that. I feel it. And that intelligence, that infinite intelligence, is what's guiding me. So I listen through, intuition or signs in nature or, other music or whatever it is. I can hear guidance messages or whatever that tell me what to write, and then more than that, we like where to go, who to call, what to eat, what to do, even, just to be listening to that refined communication, so that I know that I'm in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time, even if I'm not on a farm, self-sufficient and totally independent from government. I'm trading my goods. I don't have to use money. I mean, these are my dreams, but at the moment, I'm still connected into the enslavement system.
I think we're not slaves as long as we're aware.
Yeah, well, that's the point, isn't it? To becoming more aware of the ways that we do get enslaved.
Yes,
That
absolutely.
we and how we enslave ourselves too.
And that right there, I think, is the most insidious thing of all. Is that we start to believe things about ourselves that are not true.
Right. That's
And
so
that
that's
comes
one of
from everywhere. Here's a
everywhere.
definition of success. You're not
Right.
successful.
Right.
Here's what you have to have in order to be accepted or in order for you to belong. And it's not true. And the
Right. And
thing
also,
is, truth is subjective. In a lot of
well, there is,
cases.
in it, well, there's the higher truth, right? There's natural law, the way that the cosmos works, that's undeniable. There are rules, there are laws that if we don't abide by, we are going to end up suffering. But as far as our own, because we are evolving all the time, so what we believed about ourselves, right? I'm not good at this, I can't sing, I'm not an artist or whatever it is. That's something I had to do, was go through my beliefs about myself and analyze them as to what's true, what's not, what's helpful, and then not continue to believe the thoughts that aren't supportive of me anymore, that I'm somehow limited or broken, get rid of those types of beliefs. And that takes work. It
It
takes it
does.
does it does take work to be constantly refining oneself, healing.
It takes courage too.
Yeah, it does take courage, because you have to
Courage and
face some horrible
self-confidence.
stuff. Sometimes it's horrible what you got to face about yourself, about what your actual, and what happened as a child, or what, it does take a lot of courage, right?
So, we're running out of time now, but where can people find your work and where can they learn more about what you're doing now?
I have a website. It's feelingbetternaturally.love,
I
and
love
that's got
that.
some of my writing and artwork and links to my book, both books, Putting on the Armor of God and New Human for New Earth. They're available on Amazon as a Kindle and a hard book. And I've also got my YouTube channel, Feeling Better Naturally, And I put up a lot of images of nature, because even just appreciating, if you can't get outside for whatever reason, my first advice is do it. Like, seriously, every day, go outside,
Yes.
rain, wind, snow. You just have to receive, because nature's always giving. So we can receive that energy. We need to be relaxed as possible, just relaxed. And then whatever we need, we will receive.
So I ask three questions at the end of every episode. Hi, Kitty. Speaking of nature.
Yeah, speaking of nature, and that's also, you can be grounded from not just having bare feet on the earth, which is obviously the best, but touching trees because they're grounded,
Yes.
and touching grounded animals. You know, this cat goes outside sometimes, so he's grounded, and so I can touch him and get grounded myself.
I have my little coworker down here. He's my little puppy or my little dog. He's not a puppy anymore, but yeah, they're
Sweet.
tremendous stress relievers.
They
That
are.
is for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my first question for you here at the end is if you could close your eyes just for a moment and in your mind's eye, describe what you see when I say wise woman. Go ahead.
The Earth, Gaia. Yeah, I feel like that shit, that she's my mother. I remember when my mother, wrote me out of the will and all that. I turn, like, I remember turning to nature and saying, "Well, you're my mother now, your divine mother." And that's how it's been, and that's who sources me, gives me my wisdom, and yeah. So
Oh,
yeah.
that's beautiful. That's a lot of emotion there. That's beautiful. Where, and I think you've already answered this for all of us, but where do you like to roam?
Just outside.
Outside. I know, same for
Actually,
me.
one of the things I really have taken to roaming in is actually out in the ocean. I go out and go snorkeling, but I'm actually collecting fishing line and fishing weights and just garbage that wraps around coral. So I like
Yeah.
just roaming around out on the in the bay and collecting that. Yeah, or in a rainforest or whatever, really, and around
Yeah.
my garden. With tending my plants, and I'm, trying to grow some food here. So yeah,
Yeah. That's
outside basically. I love it. I love being
Oh, me
outdoors.
too. I that's the one thing I miss living in an RV or a caravan is that I don't have my own garden. And I used to always have a garden and I loved it. But there are other things. Now I can go and roam in all different kinds of locations. So that's good.
Right. And you can also grow sprout your own sprouts, grow
Yeah.
herbs in pots and stuff like that. It's so simple for us to get the medicine from living foods, and sprouting sprouts is such a simple thing to do. So
Yeah.
just
I need to check out your book and do some of that stuff. Get some of that
shoot.
natural healing. I love it.
Right. Yeah.
Final question. What makes you restless, but in a good way?
The seeing what's happening to humankind, that makes me so restless, and what comes from that is wanting to make a contribution to the freedom and future of humanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all the work that you've already done. And I'm so happy that you're out of that cult situation and that you're continuing your healing. It makes a big difference in life and for those around you as well. So I want to say thank you. And folks, if you want to get more information about I love it. About Bella's healing journey, please take a look at the show notes. All the information that you need is there. Bella, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Julie, for all the work that you're doing, so that you're
Thank
giving it, creating a platform and giving a voice for women to share their wisdom, because we can all get, benefit from each other, like you
Oh.
say, and as I said to you before we started, it's really important part of my healing too, to be able to share my story. So thank you for that
Thank
opportunity.
you. You are more than welcome. I'm glad that you've been blessed. I know I have today. Thank you
Yeah,
so
I have been
much.
blessed. Thank you.
Julie Noonan here. Thank you so much for listening to Roaming with Restless Women. If you're a successful senior woman leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.intuitivewisdomcoach.com. If you enjoyed this interview, please share this episode on social media and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Your thumbs ups and reviews go a long way.